Now, I think one of the most exciting things about amyloid right now are these new generation of drugs which seems to be able to dissolve the fibrils. So the NeoD001 is a new antibody that actually attacks the amyloid fibrils themselves, and the early results from single-arm trials seems to be quite promising. So there have been two phase 3 trials that are either completed enrollment or enrolling right now, which hopefully we get to hear from in the next year or so, which will prove that this particular antibody can actually improve the organ function. So by using treatments like bortezomib or stem cell transplant to shut down the light chain production on one side, and using drugs like NeoD001 to dissolve the existing amyloid fibrils, will probably make a big impact in this disease.
What about other proteasome inhibitors, specifically carfilzomib and exazomib?
So there's very limited data, mostly case reports at this point, in terms of using exazomib or carfilzomib in this setting. There's actually a phase 3 trial of exazomib that is currently ongoing in patients with amyloidosis, trying to see if that would actually improve the hematologic response rates and the outcomes. But there have been some interesting reports of daratumumab being used, and there have been very interesting and very deep responses to daratumumab in terms of hematologic response. And based on that data, in fact, there's a phase 3 trial that is currently being planned.
When you said but daratumumab, it reminded me of something. I got to ask you, when I was at ASCO, somebody came up to me and handed me an abstract and said, why don't you ask the myeloma people about it? And it was a paper on daratumumab and lung cancer. Do you know anything about what daratumumab would be doing in lung cancer?
That's an interesting question, because when they did all these myeloma trials, one thing they noticed was that actually it does change the T-cell immunity, the repertoire of T-cells in these patients. So the suppressive T-cells tend to be much more highly expressing CD38. So what the daratumumab seems to be doing is kind of eliminating some of that suppressive T-cell clones and kind of changing that balance. Again, we don't know how much that particular aspect plays a role in terms of controlling the disease, but I wouldn't be shocked to hear that maybe it does have effect in other cancers because of this immunomodulatory effect that it has.
So getting back to AL amyloidosis, maybe you could comment a little bit about a poster that you presented, factors predicting organ response in light chain AL amyloidosis.
Right. So the problem with AL amyloidosis right now is the hematologic response comes early. You know, it could come in 3, 4, 5 months, but the organ response could be a year or year and a half from there. But we want to make an early call whether the treatment is effective or not. So what we have typically been using is the hematologic response. If you get a good hematologic response, we hope that will translate to an organ response, and which it does in the vast majority of the patients. So what we've been trying to do is to identify factors which tells you that this patient is going to benefit eventually. So some of the initial work was looking at how much does the initial organ response look like in terms of how much is the hematologic response. Now, the current work that we're doing is to try and find out a composite endpoint, so to speak, which would be a surrogate for the eventual better outcome.
In your mind, globally, what is the chance that you see organ response?
So depending upon the therapies, if you look at stem cell transplant, again, we would see an organ response in nearly 60% of those patients and a hematologic response in upwards of 80 to 90% of those patients. Now, with melphalan dexamethasone or bortezomib cyclophosphamide dexamethasone, we still see hematologic response in the 60 to 70% range and organ response in the 50 to 60% range.
So you had another paper in Blood looking at the multiparametric flow cytometry in AL amyloidosis. What did you report there?
So the flow cytometry has been increasingly being used in all plasma cell diseases, especially with myeloma. But in the amyloid too, what we have seen is, again, suppression of the normal clones or the normal plasma cells, the proliferation rate of the plasma cells, presence of circulating plasma cells, all these tend to identify patients with a much poorer risk or high risk in terms of outcomes. Essentially, what it's telling us is that it's probably a much more evolved clone that is probably harder to control in the long run.